Welcome back to the Daily Drum on WHUR, Sirius XM Channel 141, 96.3 HD2 and 98.3 FM. This is the Insight segment. I'm Harold Fisher. How healthy are your kidneys? It's not something we talk much about until it becomes a health issue, but they are one of the most important organs in the body. So what do you need to do to maintain the best kidney health possible? Well, we're answering that question in tonight's Medical Monday conversation. My guest is Dr. Keith Melanson. He is a professor of surgery at the George Washington University School of Medicine and director of transplant at GW Hospital. Lines are open. If you have a comment or a question, give us a call at 202-319-7810, 202-319-7810. And I invite you to tweet me at HFisherWHUR or find me on Instagram at Harold T. Fisher. Dr. Melanson, thank you so much for joining the conversation.
Oh, thanks for having me.
Absolutely.
Lovely to be here.
So let's start off with some of the basics. What is the leading cause of kidney disease?
Yeah, great question. You know, in the country today, we have a pandemic of kidney disease, and the leading cause in this country is actually diabetes. Now, most patients with kidney disease have a combination of diabetes and high blood pressure, but the leading cause of kidney disease in the country today is diabetes.
I wasn't aware of that. Is it possible that you could still have kidney disease without diabetes?
Absolutely. Absolutely, yes. Although diabetes is the leading cause of kidney disease, the top three causes of kidney disease would be diabetes, followed by high blood pressure or hypertension, followed by obesity. So obesity independently can be a cause of kidney disease. Now, these are all the top three causes, but you can also have what's called congenital kidney disease. In other words, you could have inherited something in your genes that would give you kidney disease.
Mm-hmm. When you talk about diabetes and kidney disease, how does diabetes directly cause it?
What happens when you are diabetic, and the number one type of diabetes in this country is what's called type 2 diabetes. Type 1 diabetes means you were born to develop diabetes at some point in your life. But type 2 diabetes is directly linked to our diet and our activity. So it's really about being obese. When the sugar levels in your blood are high, and they're very high for many years, it damages all the cells of your body, including the kidney cells. So the reason why diabetes causes kidney damage is because the cells inside the kidney are damaged by persistently high glucose levels.
How do kidneys work? I know that is a really very basic question, but I've never had an opportunity to ask. What do they do?
Well, your kidneys are very important because they have myriad functions. One of the most important is that it's the ultimate filter of your body. In other words, all of the liquid that you take in, it has to be filtered through your blood. And your blood carries all of the toxins of your body. So we get toxins from our foods and the breakdown products of our body. All of this liquid in the blood has to filter through the kidneys within a couple of minutes. All of your blood in your entire body goes through your kidneys where they're filtered, where the blood is filtered, and then the kidneys pulls out the bad stuff, leaves in the good stuff, and you urinate off the bad stuff. But that's only one of the things that the kidneys do. The kidneys also emanate these hormones that are very important for maintaining your blood pressure and for rebuilding blood cells. So when people don't have good kidney function, besides the fact that they don't have this filtering, which if you go about a week of not having this filtering, you will die, it also is important for preventing anemia. You will not have enough blood cells to keep yourself healthy. So people don't realize the kidneys are, number one, a filter, but also there's some very important hormones that come from the kidneys that maintain normal blood pressure as well as maintaining blood. You would not have enough blood in your body if your kidneys wouldn't work correctly.
202-319-7810. 202-319-7810. It's a Medical Monday conversation. We are talking about your kidneys and kidney disease and everything that you need to know about kidney health. The doctor is in. If you have any comments or questions, give us a call. Lines are open at 202-319-7810. 202-319-7810. Okay, so, you know, doctor, I did, you know, fairly well in biology in high school and college, but correct me or explain to me how the kidneys and their filtering properties are different from the liver.
Very, very good question. So, you know, both the kidney and the liver are both important in detoxifying the stuff that is in our blood. And they actually work in tandem. In other words, you really need your kidneys functioning well to keep the liver functioning well and vice versa. But they do things in slightly different ways. So for the kidneys are very important in getting rid of the breakdown products of, say, your muscles. Your muscles are continually regenerating, whereas the liver is really good at more like fatty sort of things, like the breakdown products of glucose and fatty stuff. That stuff really needs to go to your liver to be metabolized, whereas the kind of stuff that comes from the breakdown of proteins and your own muscle, which has to be regenerated constantly, needs to be broken down by the kidneys. And like I said, if your liver is not functioning well, it puts more stress on your kidneys, which is why people that go into liver failure frequently will go into kidney failure as well. And the same thing with the kidneys. If you go into kidney failure without dialysis, luckily we have dialysis, but if you didn't have dialysis, you would then go into liver failure as well. So they're really a team. They're teammates, kind of like Shaq and Kobe. You got to have the center and the guard in order for the team to function well.
Why do we have two of them?
Why do we have two kidneys?
Well, yes.
It, like other paired organs in our bodies, so like the lungs, the kidneys are great to have two of them, but you only need one to be totally healthy. So it's almost like a backup. It's like God gave us a spare. Same thing with your lungs. You only really need one lung fully functioning to be totally healthy. And so where we have these paired organs, the other organ really works as a backup. People can be born with one kidney, or you can undergo an injury where you would lose one kidney or have cancer in one kidney or one lung and still be totally healthy. So it's really a redundant system that God created for us to have a backup in case one failed.
202-319-7810, 202-319-7810. This Medical Monday conversation is focusing on your kidneys, your kidney health, kidney disease. If you have a comment or a question, give us a call. Let's go to Mike calling from D.C. Mike, thanks for calling. What's on your mind?
What's going on? How y'all feeling?
Just fine, thank you.
So, hey, Doc, I had the adrenal gland surgery removal, I think probably about 7-8 years ago. I was calling them about that. How do you feel about the adrenal gland removal?
For those who don't know, Dr. Melanson, what is the adrenal gland?
Okay, this is a great question. So the adrenal gland, which is also called the suprarenal gland, this is a small gland which sits just on top of your kidney. So it's very, very close to your kidney. Whenever we're removing a kidney, we have to be careful to peel the adrenal gland off of the kidney. But the adrenal gland itself is another one of these paired organs that we were talking about earlier. You have one on each side of your body. The most important thing about the adrenal gland is that it produces the hormones that are important in the quote-unquote fight or flight syndrome. In other words, the adrenaline that we've all learned about in high school biology comes from your adrenal gland. So if you need to have one adrenal gland removed, it's usually because there's a tumor on the gland, and that's a reason to remove it because the doctors are concerned that that tumor could turn into cancer. It is perfectly fine to remove one adrenal gland because since it is a twin organ, since you have more than one, the other adrenal gland on the other side of your body will more than make up for the one that is lost. So it is okay to remove an adrenal gland, and if there's no tumor there, there's no cancer, so to speak, then there's nothing to worry about if you had one removed.
Now, what if both were removed? What, and you talked about fight or flight, what would happen if both needed to be removed? What impact would that have on, as you say, fight or flight?
Yeah, that would be a problem if you had to have both removed, and you would have to be on hormonal replacement therapy because these hormones that you get from your adrenal gland would be in deficit if both of your adrenal glands had to be removed. You can get supplements in order to make sure that your blood pressure remains normal, because that's what would happen. If both of those glands were removed, your blood pressure would drop. It would actually be low. You would have to get a combination of steroids and even medication. We call the medicines vasopressors. You would have to be on a chronic vasopressor medication, which is kind of the opposite of when most people think about blood pressure medicine, which is to lower your blood pressure. You'd need to be on blood pressure medicine to elevate your blood pressure, because your blood pressure would be chronically low. This does happen for some reasons, but that's what would have to happen if you had both of your adrenal glands removed.
Real quick, well, Mike, you were going to say something else.
Yeah, well, I had a rare condition where my blood pressure was roughly, you'd say, always at 200 over 140. My body was producing too much adrenaline and made my blood pressure go up. So it was like a real rare disease. So mine had nothing to do with no tumor or nothing, but mine was dealing with my blood pressure was so high that they had me on like 6-7 medicines at one time and still couldn't control it. And then a doctor who did some research somewhere was overhearing what was going on, because, you know, all the doctors trying to figure out what's going on with me. So they tested my adrenaline, and my adrenaline, my left adrenaline was building too much, it was just building too much adrenaline. And that adrenaline was making me, I guess, hyper.
Okay.
Hyper. So they had to remove that. But it was a very rare disease, you said.
Okay. Mike, I appreciate your phone call. We've got a lot of other people on the line. Go ahead, doctor, and respond to his last comment real quick, please.
Right. Yeah, I was going to say that is a rare condition that he's talking about. It's usually what's called a pheochromocytoma, and the proper treatment is what he received, which is removal of one adrenal gland.
Mike, stay healthy. I appreciate your phone call. 202-319-7810. 202-319-7810. We are talking about kidney health tonight. If you have a question or a comment, give us a call. Angela, calling from Northeast D.C. Thanks for calling. What's on your mind?
Hello.
Hi.
Hello. Thank you so much for having this topic. It's very timely. Doctor, I was diagnosed with gestational diabetes with my first child. And now, 22 years later, I am pre-diabetic. And I wanted to know, because during my research, I've been reading stories about you can reverse diabetes. But if you have kidney damage after having diabetes, is that reversible?
Yeah, it's a great question. And the answer is yes to both of your questions. So, number one, diabetes is reversible because the type of diabetes that you have, which is in the family of type 2 diabetes, so gestational diabetes as well as late adult onset diabetes, is all what's called type 2 diabetes. Type 2 diabetes can be reversed usually by weight loss exercise and diet changes. So even if you're not overweight, if you lose a little bit of weight, you have a chance to reverse your diabetes. And the early kidney disease, that's why, you know, in my position at George Washington and with the Ron and Joy Paul Kidney Center, we do a lot of screening for early kidney disease. Early kidney disease would be kidney disease in stage 1, 2, or 3. There are 5 stages of kidney disease, and only the last two stages are non-reversible. So if you have one of the early stages of kidney disease, it is reversible by most of the same stuff that I've already mentioned, which means weight loss, getting your blood pressure under control, and getting your diabetes under control. Getting diabetes under control might take medicine, but you can reverse it by weight loss and exercise.
All right. Angela, thank you so much for your phone call. 202-319-7810, 202-319-7810. We are talking about kidney health tonight. If you have a question, if you have a comment, the doctor is here to answer your questions, Dr. Keith Malanson. He is a professor of surgery at the George Washington School of Medicine and director of transplant at GWU Hospital. As always, we are going to be taking your questions and comments all the way up until 8 o'clock, so please give us a call if you have difficulty getting through. Keep trying. I promise I will take your phone calls. We have Sheila from Columbia. Stay on the line. We're going to talk to you next. Tony calling from Baltimore. We're going to talk to you as well. We also have another Tony calling in. Please stay on the line. Don't hang up. You will be able to hear the program. And by the way, you can hear every edition of the Daily Drum Insight segment via podcast on WHUR.com or download the 96.3 HD2 app on your smartphone and hear the program live in its entirety. I'm Harold Fisher. John Mons is next with the original Quiet Storm on WHUR. This Medical Monday conversation will be back in just a few seconds on SiriusXM channel 141. Welcome back to The Daily Drum on SiriusXM channel 141. I'm Harold Fisher. This is a Medical Monday conversation. We are talking about kidney health and kidney disease. My guest is Dr. Keith Malanson. He is a professor of surgery at the George Washington School of Medicine and director of transplant at George Washington University Hospital. If you have a comment, if you have a question, give us a call at 202-319-7810, 202-319-7810. Sheila, calling from Columbia. Thanks for calling. Sheila, what's on your mind?
Yes, thank you for having me.
Sure.
I have a question. I had my right kidney removed 5 years ago, and I'm always in pain ever since my kidney was removed, and the doctors have done all kind of tests, and they cannot tell me why I am in pain all the time.
So the pain, I take it, is in the area where the incision was for your operation?
Yes.
Well, and you had no pain before the operation?
No, not at all.
Well, you know, chronic pain after that sort of operation would be rare. And if you continue to have pain, then what could be occurring, because I would presume that the doctors have done all of the normal sort of testing, you could have what's called a neuroma, which means that nerve tissue would have grown into the incision, and that is it's a pretty rare thing to happen, but I've seen it occur after big operations. The best physicians to deal with those sort of conditions are what's called pain doctors. They're anesthesiologists that go into the field of pain relief. All of the major hospitals would have a pain team, and that's who you should see. What they usually will do is they will start by placing local anesthetic on the site, and eventually they may even give you steroid injections or injections with pain medicine into the site
to treat the pain. But it is unusual to have this sort of complication, but it can happen. And if you have pain for this many years after the surgery, it sounds like it could be a neuroma, and you need to see a pain doctor.
Okay.
Okay, thank you.
Thank you, Sheila, for your phone call, 202-319-7810, 202-319-7810. Tony calling from Baltimore. Thanks for calling. What's on your mind?
Good evening. My name is Tony Coleman, and I thank you both gentlemen for being available.
Sure, go right ahead.
I'm in my 70s, and I was diagnosed some time ago with prediabetes, hypertension, and also kidney disease stage 3. Now, I feel nothing as a result of having the kidney disease. I might be a little tired at some time, but I'm concerned because I'm not really on any special diet. I do watch my salt intake. However, the only medications that I've been given over a number of years are this Oprolol. I might not be pronouncing that right. It might be Bisoprolol, Levothyroxine, and Atorvastatin. And that concerns me because I really don't know how I'm supposed to feel different with stage 3 kidney disease. And of course, when you assign stages, when you're talking about 3 and 4 and up, it makes you frightened. So I'm wondering if I should be seen to get a second opinion, or if I should go to a nutritionist. Because as I said, I really don't feel bad. The medication has probably, and I've taken it maybe for about 3 or 4 years.
Okay, doctor.
Yeah. Okay. Ms. Tony. So, it sounds like the medicines that you're taking would be the appropriate way to start with someone that has the problems that you have. What I would ask you is, number one, you know, do you know if your blood pressure is normal? Because, you know, taking the blood pressure medicine is one thing, but what in order to prevent your kidneys from worsening, you want to make sure that your blood pressure is normal. Now, what is normal? Normal would be having the top number be lower than 140, so you would want it to be like in the 130 or below range, and the bottom number below 80, so you would want it to be in the 70s or lower. That's the first thing you would want to make sure. Now, you might say, well, you know, I only check my blood pressure when I go to the doctor, and that's the wrong answer. What I would tell you is you could go to any local drugstore and you can buy a blood pressure monitor for less than $20. And okay. you should log your blood pressure. In other words, you should take it in the morning, take it in the evening, every day, and see what your blood pressure runs. Because the blood that you on metoprolol, which is it's a good medicine, but you want to make sure that it is absolutely controlling your blood pressure, because that's the problem with kidney disease. It does not have symptoms until it's too late. You only have symptoms when you get to stage 4 and 5. So that's good news that you're stage 3. And like I said earlier, it can be reversed or at least stabilized for a very long time. So number one, I would say you want to make sure that your blood pressure is normal. If it's not, then you may need more blood pressure medicine. But your idea of seeing a nutritionist is a very good one, because it sounds like you're doing a great job of avoiding salt. But there are other dietary modifications that you could do that would also help you with your blood pressure as well as your pre-diabetes. So one of the things you want to ask your doctor, you want to make sure that you're still pre-diabetic rather than have becoming diabetic. It sounds like you probably are, but even being pre-diabetes increases the damage to the kidneys, so you would want your blood sugar to be normal. That's a question for your doctor, but I totally support the idea of changing your diet and as well as increasing your activity. I'm not saying you need to start running marathons, just walking, just making, coming up with a walking path, which could be even in the local mall, 3 to 4 times a week will decrease your blood pressure and decrease your blood sugar and increase your kidney health.
Okay. Wow.
Fantastic. I appreciate that. And I don't monitor my blood pressure. And I do only check it when I go to my physician, which is every 6 months. I appreciate that that is not enough, even though every time I go, it the figure is below those numbers. The bottom number is usually in the 70s, and the top number is usually like 119. So apparently the medication, at least when I'm at the office, shows that it's working. But I certainly will invest in the monitor. I don't exercise. I should. I have no excuse. Right. And I shall do that as well.
Tony, thank you so much for your phone call. I appreciate it. 202-319-7810. 202-319-7810. Tony calling from Woodbridge. Thanks for hanging on, Tony. What's on your mind?
Hey, good afternoon. Thank you both for being on and having this topic. This is a great topic. I myself am a 54-year-old African-American who 4 years ago I had my left kidney removed due to cancer. And it was something that was unbeknownst to me. I wasn't predisposed to diabetes. I did have an issue with blood pressure, but that's been maintained through medication, atenolol and lidocaine for many years. But my question is, how does one develop this cancer with no pre-existing or predisposed conditions or anything of that nature, and now I'm left with one kidney in stage four. But no one could ever really fully explain that to me. Could you possibly help me with that?
Yeah, so I can understand your frustration, because cancer, unfortunately, sometimes can be totally and completely random. However, there are patients that are at higher risk of the sort of cancer that you had, and it's usually people that have chronic kidney problems. Now, it sounds like you just had high blood pressure, which was well controlled, and you did not have chronic kidney problems, or you did not know you had chronic kidney problems. So you may have just had a sporadic renal cell carcinoma, renal cancer. What is curious, however, though, is that you have kidney disease in your other kidney. So, because if you're at stage four, it's like, remember I said earlier, the way God created us was to have a spare. So if you had one kidney removed and everything was normal, you should still be in normal kidney health with one kidney. The fact that your remaining kidney is diseased makes me believe that your kidney that was removed was not functioning at, normally, which means you probably had a chronic kidney problem. What I would recommend, if it hasn't been done, would be for you to have a biopsy of your remaining kidney to obtain a diagnosis, because it sounds like you have some underlying kidney disease, and underlying kidney disease is one of the highest predictors of renal cancer. So that's what it sounds like, just from, you know, not knowing your history in more detail.
Okay. Tony, thank you so much for your phone call. 202-319-7810. 202-319-7810. Andre calling from Maryland. Andre, thanks for calling. What's on your mind?
I've been in a wheelchair for over 20 years.
Mm-hmm.
And I recently started to ambulate using a walker. My problem is that one of my kidneys, it's only functions 50%, and I also have a enlarged prostate, and I'm diabetic. Can I reverse any of that at all to have everything functioning properly again? I lost 46 pounds.
Hmm.
Okay, so that's a great question. I mean, you do have some issues there, but I would start with the prostate. And the reason why is, you know, with you already having compromised kidney function, with the pressure that would build up in your bladder and push back into the the kidney that remains, that's functioning at least 50%, this is going to cause problems with that kidney long term. So if your prostate is enlarged and it is encroaching upon the way your urine leaves your body, that pressure can give a problem to the kidney that's working for you. So I would say it's important to be aggressive with your prostate to make sure that you have a good, strong release of urine from your body, because otherwise, this is true for all men that have big prostates, but it's particularly true for you because you have diabetes and have been wheelchair-bound and all of these other issues. And so I would say it's important that you either you could be on medicine for your prostate, and maybe it's giving you what you need, but a urologist would have to tell you that. And if it's not, then there are procedures that a urologist could do to make the urine drain more easily and take the pressure off of that kidney that's already compromised.
Okay.
Well, I had what they call a uroflow, and I cast 3 or 4 times a day. I have not been back in the hospital for a UTI for over 4 months, and it seems to be doing well as long as I cast myself.
Well, then you're doing the correct thing in that fashion, because that is very, very important. And you must be doing it very well not to get an infection. So I think you're doing a lot of what you need to be doing already, honestly.
Okay.
I drink plenty of water, and diet cranberry juice is what I do. I've changed my eating habits. I've been an athlete for the last 14, 15 years. For the Paralympics scene, doing wheelchair activities and sports. And I haven't done any for the last 2 or 3 years, and I'm wondering if that could have attributed to me for not doing anything. And
real quick, doctor, because I've got more calls on the line.
Yeah, no, I think the more activities you do, the better, because it's going to help your diabetes. You're already doing a great job with your kidney health and your keeping yourself from getting these infections. So I would continue doing that, but more activity is good.
Okay. Andre, stay healthy. Thank you so much for your input and your phone call. Andre did mention something before I go to the next call that I've been wanting to ask for about the past 30 minutes or so, but we've had so many phone calls and I didn't want to stop the rush of those calls. But he mentioned cranberry juice. What is it? What are the magical properties of cranberry juice that have to do with promoting kidney health?
Yeah, that's a good question. So when you can make the fluids in your body more acidic or more alkaline, you know, depending on which way you move, it can affect certain bacteria. We have bacteria all over our bodies. And you know, cranberry juice and most of your citric fruit will have more acids. So it acidifies the urine, it brings down the pH, and certain bacteria that are common pathogens inside the urinary tract will not thrive in an acidic environment. And that's why people talk about cranberry juice and that it is good to prevent infection. And I've definitely seen it in my patients that it can be effective. But I think the cranberry juice works, but I think even more important is just getting a lot of water.
Mm-hmm.
So yes, things like cranberry juice, anything that acidifies the urine, like citrus, almost all citrus will do it, it would be good for good urogenital health, but nothing is as good as just drinking lots and lots of water. The more you urinate, the more you're going to wash out all of those pathogens.
And also on the cranberry juice, we are talking about cranberry juice without the vodka.
Yes, sir, without the vodka. That's
just wanted
right.
to make sure for the listeners, that's cranberry juice without the vodka that is best for your kidney health and probably your liver as well. Let me go back to the phone lines. Lorinda calling from D.C. Thanks for calling, Lorinda. What's on your mind?
Good evening. I am a diabetic, for one, and I'm battling polycystic kidney disease, where there are cysts on both of my kidneys, and they are enlarged. Is there a way that I can reverse this kidney disease? I think I'm at stage four, and also I'm on this new medicine called Genoc-Q, and it's for your kidneys, and it's supposed to slow the process of the kidney disease, I guess the kidneys from failing even more. Right now they're at a 26%, so I don't know.
Doctor?
Well, you have, Linda, what you have polycystic kidney disease, which is one of those inherited sorts of, well, usually it's one of these inherited sorts of kidney disease that is no fault of your own. There's nothing you did that caused you to have this problem. And it is, unfortunately, it's a progressive problem, but there are patients that have polycystic kidney disease and live their entire lives and never have to be on dialysis or get a transplant. But there are some patients that progress. You are at stage four, but one of the good news is, but the bad news is, no, you can't really reverse the disease of polycystic kidney disease. However, the good news is, unlike most causes of kidney disease, this type of kidney disease progresses very slowly. So if you're doing the other things to keep your body healthy, your kidney function will last a lot longer than someone else that have another disease but would be in stage four. In other words, usually when a patient gets to stage four kidney disease, it's they're within 3 to 5 years of being on dialysis. You could have stable stage four kidney function for a very long time if you keep your body otherwise in good shape. So, yes, this new medicine can help from having progression of your disease, but just keeping your body in good health, you know, exercise, weight loss, eating healthy, a low, not low protein, so to speak, but a lean protein diet, lots of lean meats and eggs and things of that nature. So, unfortunately, you didn't cause this. It possibly will progress, but it can be stable for a long time if you take good care of yourself.
Okay.
Well, unfortunately, I can't eat a lot of things with protein and potassium and things like that because it doesn't look good for a diabetic to have all those things going on with them.
Mm. Right, yeah. But, you know, you can, even being a diabetic, the most important thing to eliminate from your diet or to limit in your diet are carbohydrates. You can have proteins, usually, you know, I don't know your specific situation, but usually you can have lean protein in moderation rather than, when I say lean protein, rather than eating a protein-rich diet that is the typical American diet.
Okay.
All right.
Well, Lorinda, thank you so much for your phone call.
Thank you.
Before I go back to the phones, I did want to spend just a little bit of time talking about kidney transplants. I don't want to miss that really important issue. How do you deal with eligibility for kidney transplants? Who are the people who are first on the list when it comes to kidney transplants? Is this kidney cancer? You said that you can obviously live a long and productive life with just one kidney. Kind of share your thoughts about the transplantation process.
Sure. No, great question. So, you know, the types of patients who are going to be candidates for transplants are usually people that are at the end of the road, so to speak, with their kidney function. So once you get to stage four or five, usually when people are at stage five, they are already on dialysis. These are the patients that can start to become candidates for transplantation. The types of people that can get a transplant, number one, they have to be deemed to be a good surgical candidate, right? So they have to be healthy enough to make it through a big operation. And then they there are certain things that will rule them out. So although you could have had cancer, you cannot have an active cancer in your body. Although you may have had an infection, you can't have ongoing infections. So if you don't have an ongoing cancer or ongoing infections, you're a good surgical candidate, then you are possibly a good candidate to receive a transplant. The process goes that once you are at the point of no return with your kidney function, we can determine what your function is. Like the lady on the last call, her function was at 26%, which is a little bit higher than where you need to be to get a transplant. Usually when it drops down to about 20% or below, that's when you're at the point where you really need to be looking to try to get a transplant. You would first get on a list at a transplant center like George Washington, and then you could either have a live donor, which is the best option, which means that a friend or family member would donate a kidney to you. And like I said earlier, we were given a spare, so you can give up one and still be healthy. Or you have to be put on a list and wait for someone to die to receive a transplant. That usually takes about 4 to 6 years in the Washington, D.C. area. Wow. But that's the process. The process is you get to the point of no return, you're a good surgical candidate, you don't have an active cancer or infection, you get on the list, and then you either receive a live donor, which would be fast, or a deceased donor, which takes 4 to 6 years.
Mm-hmm. Amazing. Let me go back to the phone lines, 202-319-7810, 202-319-7810. Detta, calling from Suitland. Thanks for calling. What's on your mind?
Yes. Good evening. My name is Detta Jeffries. And at first, I want to ask what the doctor's name is that's on the show right now.
This is Dr. Keith Malanson.
M-E-L-L-O-N?
M-E-L-A-N-C-O-N.
Okay. My question is tonight, I have all those things, that those diseases that he's talking about, and I want to say thank you so much, and I'm glad I'm on the program listening, because I've never been told, I'm a stage 3 kidney disease individual with high blood pressure that I stand on top of with both feet to control, and I am obese, and I'm type 2 diabetic, and I try to keep that under control as well. But I never knew what you said tonight, that these things can be reversed as long as I'm no further in the diabetes than stage 3. I see an endocrinologist every 3 months, and I have a nephrologist, and neither one of them have said to me that, you know, you can return this, you can get rid of this and turn it all the way back around. So it's just been music to my ears to hear you say that, doctor. But my biggest problem is I can't find a weight loss program or somehow some way to lose the weight. Do you have any suggestions that you can give me? I've thrown a few out to my nephrologist, because he's like, your kidney sees everything. You check with me before you take any new medications. You check with me about everything that's going to involve that kidney. The things I have taken to him for weight loss, he winds up usually shooting them in the foot.
Mm. Go ahead, doctor.
Yeah, so my suggestion for you is, first of all, you know, it sounds like you're on top of trying to take care of your health, which is so important, Dede. And what
yes,
I would
sir.
Say is that you can go, the best website for you to go to, and I would contact someone at the National Kidney Foundation. I know personally a lot of people that work for them, including dietitians, and they spend all of their time looking for diets that are kidney friendly and different things that can help you lose weight that coincide with making sure that your kidney health is maintained. But you are absolutely correct in what you said, which is you can reverse your kidney damage or at least make it a lot better just by losing weight. I've had patients that have done much better with their kidney health just by losing lots of weight. Now, it's possible to do it with diet. as well as exercise. And you don't have to go from, you know, from being like, let's say 50, 60 pounds overweight to all of a sudden, you know, being a bikini model. All you have to do is move in the right direction. Even 10 pounds makes a difference. And not just the fact that you lose the weight, but the activity, just the activity decreases the circulating blood sugars and starts to make your diabetes not be as much of a problem. So that's why I love your mental attitude, because once you start believing you can do it and start moving and start changing your diet and changing your habits, you're moving in the right direction. You can do it. You're still at stage three, so you can push it back to stage two or even higher if you just keep going at it.
Are you exercising at all, Detta? Can you?
Yes. I'm sorry?
Are you exercising at all, or can you?
Very little, because I have two bad hips that need replacing and a low back problem. But I have a stationary bike in the house, and I ride that sometimes as much as 30 minutes when I can. You know, but the hips are a problem. I ride it until they start, you know, making
noise.
Problems for me, and I get off. But, you know, tomorrow's another day, and I give it another shot. I keep trying.
Yeah.
So. You know, Daddy, I have patients like you, and one of the things that does work, I don't know how much you like water, but water aerobics is also an option that many people that have hip problems can do with less of an issue.
Oh, okay. Even with the two bad ones, I'm bone on bone.
Yeah, well, you may need a hip, you may need a hip replacement. So that's the other thing. You may need to see an orthopedic doctor, because, you know, with hip replacements, you know, they work like magic. The pain is gone. If you're bone on bone, you may need a hip replacement.
Yes, that's what I'm scheduled for on May 3rd. So for the right hip, I'll start with that one, because that was the one giving me the most problems. And I have two discs out of place in the back.
Well, Detta,
the hips, like I said, it can be like magic, and you can start to exercise after you get your hips replaced.
Oh, okay. Well, let's see. Another ring in the bells. That was great what you just said to me. So that gives me something to look forward to.
Well, Detta, keep fighting. I love your spirit, and I'm sure you're going to be just fine. Kidney disease doesn't have a chance with that kind of fighting spirit there. Detta, thank you so much. And Dr. Keith Melanson, thank you so much for this energetic conversation. I think we've helped a lot of people tonight. I appreciate your time.
Thanks for having me. It was my pleasure.
That is the Daily Drum for this Monday, March 14th. I'm Harold Fisher. Good night.